winecellarmedia.com audio recording. And we proceed to get down to the shit.
We sold my shit up. Knuckles all fat shit.
When we're not on the show, Father Teresa yells at me.
Lift his ass so bad, his stepmom's gonna feel me for the next three birthdays out this month.
Look what his homeboy did to the side of your head.
What you talking about, kid?
This show is so black.
One ass whooping, man. They still want. How you figure that, man? Look around you, man. They own this shit. They own this couch you sitting on. Them shoes you got on your feet. This building. This school. This country. You. We behind enemy lines, dog. One beat down and never compare to 439 years of captivity. Never. I don't know shit. Freshman.
Give me the cure. Check 1, 2. Don't try to come off for me. Because you do do. You're treating me the Z to the D. Like a stepchild. Let me tell you, homeboy, you're living foul. MCs. You know who you are. On the bandwagon YZ. Cause you a star. This is the year when the jokers are wild. When I'm sad, you're happy. Trying to fight your style. Like get hip to the scene. Before it happens, if it comes on, then I'll start capping. But for now, since everything's calm, relate to the matter as I drop the bomb. Cause I'm house.
This show is brought to you by the fuck that Father Teresa does not give.
In Father Teresa's wine cellar, we believe all oppression is intersectional. And this means our analysis of current events frequently includes discussion of difficult and explicit content. Any combination of the following topics could be included in our show: murder, rape, war, climate change, racism, sexism, violence, sexual violence, homophobic violence, heterocentrism, discrimination and abuse against individuals of nonconformist sexuality, domestic violence, child abuse, child rape, child neglect, elderly abuse, verbal abuse, police brutality, microaggressions, ableism, cyberbullying, genital mutilation, ideological extremism, and people just being total fucking assholes.
You on this couch you sitting on?
This show.
Them shoes you got on your feet.
Is brought to you.
This building.
By the fuck.
This school. This country, you...
That Father Teresa does not give.
Alright. WineCellarMedia.com.
We have heard
this week in the Black Podcast. The much better podcast. Alright. Like, if you're gonna check out a Black Podcast, maybe you want to check out Black Agenda Report. Maybe Black Talk Radio, mm-hmm. or just the Black Podcast, mm-hmm. but it doesn't need to be a This Weekend Black. This is another I Told You So. This is a 2 years in the making I Told You So, and a 3 years in the making of, where are they going with this? Right, in 2014 with This Week in Blackness, I was like, where are they going with this? Mm-hmm. I still kept listening because it's funny. And they cover the news, and I like listening to Black radio. Mm-hmm. But like in 2015, they became some funny style ass niggas. But I guess they were always funny style ass niggas. But as we said, Bernie Sanders brought it out of everybody. Like, yeah. April 29th, 2015, like, really changed the independent media landscape, where it was like, either you a punk motherfucker, or you keeping it greasy. And, fucking, yeah, that Elon shit, so guess who's not surprised over here, because we've been watching this shit, we've been critiquing these whack niggas. Mm-hmm. And something I noticed, and we'll get to this, we're not gonna get to it immediately, but this is the crux of the episode, but a fucking, the one, Dasha Mitchell, the Beige yes. Menace is what she was, her nickname on the program, mm-hmm. and, fucking... She had a thing up where she was talking about how working with Elon was gaslighting and all sorts of bullshit, and he'll just fucking, like, I'm gonna use the word nag here. Like, Elon will nag you until you just say, okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is, so apparently, according to Elon James White, when a black woman says no, that's the beginning of a nag negotiation from yes. him.
Which, I'm not surprised, because that was how we always behaved on Twitter. Was he'd be like, no, I'm right, you're wrong. No, I'm right, you're wrong. If you make me tell you you're wrong again, I'm blocking you. And it was never like a conversation of, no, I'm right because ABC, and then I rebut with XYZ, and he goes, but then 1, 2, 3. All right, that didn't happen. It was, no, you're wrong. No, you're wrong. No, you're wrong. And after 3 or 4 times, he just blocks you.
Yeah. That's funny, because, like, in, like, one of the screenshots that you said, again, we got to get to a little bit of news before yeah. this. A little, because we didn't...
Not that one, though, because I did that one.
We did... Oh, fuck. We didn't do any news yesterday. So, Phoenix Cleater already got to the news of the sex worker that jumped out of a window.
Yes.
And, but, Reading in the Shade with Phoenix Cleater was posted to Patreon only until...
Oh, so we can do it again.
Patreon only till Saturday. Saturday it drops. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so Saturday it's public. But right now, it's Patreon only, yes. so you can get to it now if you're signed up on the old Patreon Arena there. And the one where somebody said, I signed up to Elon's Patreon because I liked his tweets, mm-hmm. and now I can't see his tweets.
Yes, because he protected his accounts and started deleting things. And
oh, yeah, but like, yeah. They're, like him and Emily... They're probably tweet mining hard on their own shit.
Oh, yeah.
Getting rid of old tweets. And this is just my prediction here. I'm saying this prediction with probably more confidence than I should. I think he's going to rage quit everything. Like, I think he's going to shut down the website, shut down everything. Maybe he'll refund some people to keep some of his name. And
I don't think so.
He might refund, like, at least, like, for the month, or at least make a, like, if he made a Patreon post that was charged for the month of November, he'll mm-hmm. probably uncharge that one, because, you know, it's, November's up in a day.
Right.
And, fucking, and I think he's gonna rage quit and fucking just go take an IT job somewhere, because he's competent at that, he can work with computers, like, mm-hmm. he'll just go take an IT job, because his whole image... He just fucking ruined it. Like, everything of the whole essence of him was, he is the black man of black women.
Right.
And that's gone.
Which seems to be a trend, right? And of course, he was, like, on a larger scale, but for a while, Pennyman was like, I support black women. And then fucking Monier Elson was, I support black women. And fucking every dude who's like, I'm the black men for black women.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And funny thing is, like, and I know some people are like, okay, well, William, you must be next, nigga. And it's like, I just don't do funny style shit. That's, like, just don't do funny style shit. Don't be a fucking weirdo.
Right.
Don't be a rapist, all right? Pennyman. Don't be a fucking a Mayo Fever ass nigga, Elon. Mm-hmm. And actually,
don't be in everybody's inbox with your dick pics, Monier.
Yeah, and fucking threatening revenge porn. I hate that it's called that. Threatening that shit, like, or who was that motherfucker, Howard, who basically went full MRA?
Yeah.
Don't be a rapist like Howard, a rapist mm-hmm. and a creep.
Bradford.
Timothy Bradford, a fucking rapist. Jesus Christ. They say we're tripping when we call it a rape culture. How many of these niggas I had to say rape about? Jesus fuck. That motherfucker, who was the one that was asking the women for nude pictures? was in the group. We covered him on the program. I remember I called him. Lachey Kilpatrick. Yeah, because I called him on the show. That's an old Wine Cellar episode. Yeah, I called that. Because this motherfucker had his phone number on his fucking Facebook. Uh-huh. And you're harassing black women for nude pictures in their inbox? You think I'm not going to call you live on the program?
Not even, like, harassing black women for pictures, but he was, like, extra fucking shady about it. Because he was like, I have self-esteem issues, and I'm trying to, like, you know, work through my body image stuff. And if you're trying to work through your body image stuff, too, we can exchange nudes and compliment each other. Like, he tried to really fucking put it out there, like, I'm doing this for your self-esteem. Like, no the fuck you're not. You're not doing this for any woman's self-esteem. You're doing it because you want masturbation material. Yeah.
Yeah, and then that's even... Did he rape him? Well, actually, I don't know. Nigga probably is a rapist. But that right there is some rape culture shit, because that's not informed consent as to why the picture is being given or pictures are being exchanged. Right. That's not full informed consent.
Right. And then he came back and was like, it wasn't me. My brother or cousin, uncle, nephew, male in my family had access to my computer. I didn't do that.
Yeah, that's just like that nigga Trump now saying the grab him by the this, that, and the other. Oh, that's
not him. That's not me.
Like, nigga, you actually gave a damn near responsible adult apology for it when the fucking tape re-dropped. Because, again, man, that tape had been out, man. We had that shit on the hip-hop website eons ago. All right, so what in the holy, the flipple flapple fucking damn jibble dabble dooble dabble, right?
Yes.
You're not sure about that, are you?
I'm actually putting a link in there right now that might interest you because it sounds like something fun that we would do.
Jeez, yeah. That's a real bad precursor to the words about this. Ma'am. All right. We will get to that. Yes. But a transgender woman shot dead in a brutal attack is the 27th that we know of to be killed this year, and that this particular outlet, pinknews.co.uk, knows of. Black trans woman murdered in Oklahoma. Looks like her name was Brooklyn Brianna Stevenson. The Brianna is a capital B, lowercase R-E, capital Y, lowercase A-N-N-A, Brianna Stevenson. And a 31-year-old individual. And she was found dead in the early hours of Monday morning after the police fellers were called to a motel at about 2:30 in the a.m. No arrests have been made. Oklahoma City Police spokesman Gary Knight on Monday told the local outlet News 4 that it's too early in the investigation to say whether Brianna Stevenson was killed because of her gender identity. That's his words. Because I don't know if gender identity, I just say stop killing these folks.
Yeah,
I'm pretty simple in what I'm getting at. The victim's family released a statement saying, quote, "We are heartbroken. Brooklyn Brianna was an amazing daughter, sister, and friend with a giving and loving heart." Goddamn, black people are homophobic, transphobic like a motherfucker, but I take a foot. Quote, "We pray that those who committed this heinous crime will be identified and Brooklyn will receive justice," end quote. Local trans activist Paula Sophia Schnauer said, quote, "When I found out on Monday night, it broke my heart." And she added, continuing with the quote, "I knew how hard she was trying and how much she was working to establish her identity and to establish a place in the world for herself," end quote. Troy Stevenson, the executive director of Freedom Oklahoma, said the death was, quote, "of deep concern." Continuing, "We've got a member of the transgender community that has been murdered like this, and it happens quite often, unfortunately," end quote. In October, Candace Town was found shot to death in Macon, Georgia. 30-year-old's best friend, Malaysia Monroe, said that Miss Towns was incredibly generous. Quote, if I needed anything, she would give it to me. She would give me the clothes off her back, end quote. The body of Stephanie, so they're going through a short list of murder trend. Oh, you know what? Not a short list. But that's the rest of the article is pictures and like where they were found, how they were murdered, and what the case was. Mostly black women. I think I saw one white, maybe white subclassified as Latin. Latinx or Latina or not Chicana or Chicano anymore. I don't know what's going on.
Well, Chicano is like specifically Mexican, whereas like Latino is just a more generic term for anywhere from Latin America.
Okay. That's a good time. Everybody's having fun.
Everybody is having fun.
Damn.
Oh, did you see our commander in chief today tweeting on the Twitters?
What the fuck did he say now?
He was retweeting videos from like a right-wing British propaganda site of like, look at these Muslims beating up this innocent teenager without any context or anything.
He's such a fucking old man. Jesus Christ.
I threw two in there. They might amuse you.
Oh shit, that thing's been playing in the background the whole time.
What's that?
This fucking thing. On a temporary basis. Well, I hope that didn't fuck everything up.
Oh.
Damn, why is that website auto-playing? I hate that. Don't do that. This?
Either one of them, I think. The second one is funny to me.
Alright, so let's take a look here. Oh, fuck, it is Wednesday.
Yes.
Fuck, okay, what the fuck? I'm looking at the headline, folks. I'm gonna give you the headline tip because you know how I am. I like to skip the headline and get to the story because the headline gives so much away. But fucking Christ! And first off, let's for the people viewing the video, and we're actually recording the video this time.
Yes,
I'm gonna share his fucking mugshot with you. That's his fucking face, video viewers. His face and this headline report. I thought I could say it without laughing. Okay, report. Roswell cop drank 10 beers, threw shoes at kids before arrest. How much capacity do you have to drink 10 beers? It's not just that it's beer, but it's 10 beverages of maybe 12 ounces. That's 120 ounces of liquid sloshing around in you, whether it's beer or not.
Well, you know. He's dedicated.
Look on his face, looks like that dedication didn't work out too. Where the fuck his eyebrows at? Yo, where's your eyebrow game, son?
On his beard.
Oh, fuck. Yep, that's where it all is. Alright, let me get that off the screen. Skippy flippy jibby doo, Phoenix is a Jew.
Maybe.
Everybody knows it's true.
What?
Oh, shit, that's giving me the, I forgot that it does that. There you go.
There you go.
All right, so fucking Cherokee County Sheriff's deputy drew his gun on a Roswell police officer. Didn't shoot him.
Nobody got shot.
A drunk white man attacking children didn't get shot. Just let it see known. If you're a white man, you can drink 10 beers and physically assault children with shoes, and still they will hold back and be like, wait. His life matters. Hands
and
up, don't shoot.
And pulled a gun
shoot.
On cops. And pulled a gun on the cops when they got there.
Oh, fuck. Why are you giving away the story?
I'm not. You just said that.
Wait, a Cherokee County Sheriff's deputy drew his gun on a Roswell
police officer.
There's a lot going on. All right, that sentence, like, started where it ended. That's the thing. It reiterated upon itself, if that's a thing that can happen.
We can make it a thing.
Like,
in this era, we can make anything a thing.
Yeah, I'm sure somebody academic that listens to this, that sentence blew their head up. You can't reiterate upon yourself.
Ah, we did too bad.
All right, a Cherokee County sheriff's deputy drew his gun on a Roswell police officer on Thanksgiving when he responded to a domestic dispute at the officer's Woodstock home. Of course it'd be called Woodstock. The goddess of irony is always on her job, never slacking. Jesus Christ. Chad Harris, a sergeant with the Roswell Police Department, was arrested early Thanksgiving morning and charged with simple battery, and two counts of cruelty to children. That sounds so grinchy. It sounds so grinchy. Like, I'm gonna get arrested for that one day. Like, when I lived somewhere different, I was trying to be Mr. Petty Bourgeois Man in my fucking early to mid-20s. And I literally was about to, again, yell at a kid to get off my lawn because he's riding his fucking bicycle in my yard and I just planted my fucking cacti. And he fell before I could yell it. And then I just ended up laughing really loud out the window at him and he looked up at me all sad and it was really funny. So I...
You are horrible. Wait, did you do your, like, movie theater laugh?
Oh, like, I'm very loud?
Well, you're very loud, but you have, like, a specific laugh you do in movie theaters when, like... bad things happen to characters you don't like.
Oh, to let all the other people in the theater know that Becky Lives Matter. Yeah. Yeah.
That laugh.
Yeah, I did. And a little yellow-headed little white boy looking up at me because he fell off his bicycle that he shouldn't be riding in my fucking lawn. Like, we're in a cul-de-sac. You have this whole circle of concrete and your parents' fucking yard. Why are you in all the yards and you came in this black man's yard? Fuck that shit, kid. Fucking kid. And that was 2007. Little fucker was probably like 5 years old then. Damn, so he's probably like fucking 15 now, little asshole. Probably a Trump supporter. Fuck that kid.
Probably.
God damn it. Alright. That, what the fuck kind of tangent was that?
We tangent hard.
Yeah.
We do.
It got all the way to he's probably a Trump supporter. Like, now we're just fucking speculating. Alright, cruelty to children. And he was released from a Cherokee County jail at $4,500 bond and placed on administrative leave from the Roswell Police Department. An incident report from the Cherokee County Sheriff's Office reveals new details about the arrest. According to the report, Harris drank 10 beers, threw shoes at children, and left...
at his children.
Oh, threw shoes at his children.
Nigga!
And
why are you throwing shoes at your own kids?
That ain't just some white people shit.
That ain't just some
white people shit. That's...
John Glass!
That's some blue collar shit, man. Like, that's the thing. It's the color of the collar, man. Bubba doop skip bop doop threw shoes at his children and left scratch marks on his wife's neck. Okay. Jesus Christ, dude, what's your fucking deal? You said this story was funny.
Has your coverage not been funny thus far?
Your coverage is funny thus far. You're Doug funny. You're pork chop too. Damn it.
Well, you're Quail Man then.
Quail Man. I like to wear my undershorts on the other side of my pants. Feels great when my zipper's running into my gonads. That's so illogical. Deputies arrived at Harris's home in Woodstock at 1:41 in the a.m. Nigga, you throwing shoes at 1:41 a.m.? The fuck you do? And they're calling that Thanksgiving morning? Fuck that. That's still Wednesday night. 1:41.
Black Friday at that point.
Jesus. 1:41 a.m. and you're drunk throwing shoes. What is your fucking deal, man? On November 23rd, after his son called 911, according to the report. Now, when the deputies arrived, they could hear two people arguing. Quote, screams and bangs and thumps. And our neighbors above us, Rottweiler, is just scratching the floor.
Mm-hmm. I think he's gonna bite someone's face off someday.
That's why you got a man, like, when you get in and out of your car, yo, look.
I do.
Yeah.
Because they don't keep it on a leash, ever.
Nope.
It's never on a leash.
Which, see, and I try to support my fellow black people, but, like, come on, don't do shit like that, man.
At least a leash. At least a leash.
Yeah. Well, fuck. I mean, he can't keep a leash on his fucking penis.
He cannot.
And he's like, that thing has been...
I don't even want to know places. Yeah, in contact
with every trash Becky within the fucking radius. This nigga, he is Elon with it, really.
Yes.
I bet you all the trash Beckys he can't be at their house for Thanksgiving. I bet you that. Doobie-doop, skip-bop, doop-bop-be-doo. When the deputies approached to enter the home, the front door was flung open by a woman later identified as Harris's wife, and it looked as if Harris was pushing her through the front door, according to the deputies. A deputy wrote in the report that the surprise from the door being flung open, coupled with the bangs and screams, influenced the deputy to draw his weapon and aim at Harris, but not shoot. The deputy's, that's right, hands up, don't shoot.
Hands up, don't shoot.
Jew.
That too.
Jewy, Jewish Jews, they eat all the grilled cheese sandwiches.
Grilled cheese is the shit, are you kidding me?
See, told you. Jews. And, doobie-doop-doop. So the deputy told Harris to get on the ground, and they put him in handcuffs, and when they did, according to the report, this is when Harris told deputies he was a sergeant. A sergeant with the Roswell Police Department. Now, the report notes that that two victims, a 42-year-old and a 17-year-old, had visible injuries and were given medical attention. Harris told deputies he never touched his wife, but admitted to throwing the shoes. Oh, man. Yep. Why shoes? Fuck it. Don't try to figure this out.
Never try
to understand a white man.
Especially not a drunk one throwing shoes at 1:45 in the morning.
Yeah. What is going on? Are you like somebody play this guy a Christmas movie? Why are you mad?
He didn't have enough turkey. There wasn't enough gravy.
But it was November 23rd.
That was Thanksgiving.
It didn't start yet.
Well,
you don't eat things until like 6 p.m., right?
Well, that's why he was angry, because it didn't start yet. He wanted his goddamn turkey.
Motherfucker, no. No, you have to wait 14 the fuck hours like every the fuck damn body else. And why are you that drunk at like at 1:41 a.m. and especially at that age and with a family and shit?
Yeah.
If you're that drunk, you're asleep. And you're sleeping it off. Mm. You shouldn't still be up at 1:41 a.m. With 10 beers. All right.
Throwing shoes.
10 beers and throwing shoes.
That could be like a country song.
Yep. I'm going to start doing country song. And you know what? And you can do it like a count up, like what you do on one beer.
Yes.
And then what you do. And once you get to 10 beers, you're throwing shoes. That's a fun. I could just make that a hip hop joint, man. Fuck the country. I could fucking funk it up. Nice. excuse me. All right. So, according to the report, Mr. Harris told the deputies he was a. I work 12-hour shifts, folks. That's why I'm yawning. That he told them that he was a 15-year law enforcement veteran, and that the arrest would ruin his career.
Well, it's a good thing he felt bad about hitting his wife and throwing shoes at his kids and not about his career.
Well, and scratching her neck, so I'm guessing probably, like, choking on her and probably flinging her around the dadgum place. Mm. Like, she probably has bruises, like, on her sides and shit like that.
Probably. His face.
His fucking face. Fucking Harris. Jesus Christ. Alright, man. Let's get down to the fucking Elon so we can wrap this episode up, because I have to go to sleep and shit. Because you know I'm going to do 12 hours again tomorrow.
I know.
Yeah. But I have to.
I know.
Got to. We're poor, nigga.
I know.
Your sweatpants look much better.
Thank you.
Oh, that was like a whole different pair of gray. I hated the ones you had before. I hated them. Elon James.
White.
Woman lover. Fucking with the. Well, you don't have them queued up? What? You're not even holding your.
I thought we were reading it off the laptop. Oh, am I reading all the screenshots?
No, I don't. I never saved them to the laptop.
Oh, no, I put the link. Wait, the Twitter screen caps from other people or the...
No, his thread. His thread. Oh, where'd you put it in here?
Yeah, there's a... under show notes. Scroll up. Yeah, there you go.
Okay, so Elon James White got on Twitter and, I don't... What the fuck was he trying to do? Do you have a guess in your head what he was trying to do?
I think what he was trying to do was come at black men and say, you need to stop shitting on black women because these are the ways black women have supported me. Black women are awesome. But what ended up happening was this.
Okay. This is Elon... This nigga said, I'm pro-black. My work and career are examples of said pro-blackness. I'm also married to a white woman who I will check quicker than anybody else, as will she if when my male privilege kicks in. Is she anti-woman for marrying a dude? Which is a goofy rhetorical question. But then also, this whole, I'll check her if she, yeah, check her for what? Like if she says some racist shit?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's say I'm dating a Becky or a white woman. Let's be mature about it. If I'm dating a white woman, she says some racist shit. I say, oh, fuck, you're fucking racist. And I break up with her. And then I don't tell anybody because niggas is going to make fun of me. And I fucking move on. Like, so I'm wondering, has she said racist shit? And he's just been like, I'm going to stay with you, but that's wrong.
It gets better. And he's also responding to somebody who said, but you can't be pro-black if you're married to a white woman. So this is his, like, he's trying to support black women for supporting him while also saying you can be pro-black and date a white woman or marry a white woman. So that's the...
Also, one thing that bothers me is we're not defining pro-black first.
Of course we're not.
Yeah.
It just means being black and stuff.
Yeah, it just means being black and stuff. And that's why there's that one tweet that pointed out three different groups of black people. And it's like, well, which one of those are you pro? Because I bet you you're against the Uncle Toms, the Onk Right. Yes. So you're not pro that black.
Right.
Yeah, like Elon is pro, what was it, brunch and passports?
Brunch and passports.
Yeah, Twitter. He's, yeah, and, you know, because.
Pro segues to brunch Twitter.
Yeah. Yeah, well, hoverboard. Hoverboard. Which is a segue without a handle. Remember when I first saw one of those, I was like, you're not hovering, that's a fucking eccentric skateboard. Fuck out of my face. Alright, so he continues and says, almost every time I've had some ridiculously racist situation happen with my wife's family, it was the black women in my life that would provide counsel and a shoulder to melt down on. They would give advice and check in on me. If it wasn't for black women, I may not be married now.
Did you just say your family, your wife's family is so racist you wanted to leave?
And then you would go cry on black women's shoulders and then go back? That's black home syndrome.
That's something.
God damn.
That's like Mayo fever for real.
Yeah, it is. That's a high level of cooning, my man. High level. This dude is the coon of the fucking year. And he continues and says, I don't talk about the racial aspects of my relationship much outside of jokes, but I assure you, there's shit that makes it really hard.
Yeah, like the racism, probably.
No, it's more complicated than that somehow. He said,
like, I'm pretty sure it's just the racism.
He said, and it ain't black women. My in-laws and quote-unquote well-meaning white folks have been so much more of a problem than black women could ever be.
And you chose to marry into that. You said, yep. Wow, they treat me like shit. They're racist. How do I get in on this?
And then breed into it.
And breed into it.
Yeah. Yeah, you, like you said, male fear. This shit, it's like... creepy level, man. Like, it's weird reading this shit out loud because I deliberately didn't read it all day.
Yeah,
that's how I am. And he continues. He says, in all honesty, I'd argue it was proximity to whiteness that made me quadruple down on my blackness. All right. Watching white. You can realize he's an ex-Republican. All right. Triple down on, quadruple down on my blackness. Watching whiteness work in the entertainment industry and my wife's family up close and personal had me like, oh, hell no. Nope. Uh-uh. What we not gonna do is this.
What we not gonna do is check my wife's racist white family because Mayo fever.
And there's way too much shit that's like Southern and Southern black people talk that other black people just be like some sort of like regional appropriation, I might say. Hmm. Where it's like, we don't all fucking talk like that. What we not gonna do is this. You're from fucking Brooklyn. You don't talk like that, motherfucker. Can I call it performative blackness?
You can call it performative blackness. I think up here it's the what we ain't gonna do.
Yeah, the fuck, yeah, nigga, you don't fucking talk like that. He continues. It's just like, also, what up?
It's like, how are you gonna make it sound like you're sounding extra black and all hard and shit, but you've already made it clear you won't check them because they've been repeatedly racist to you?
Huh?
Like, you have already laid the groundwork. They have been repeatedly racist. So, you know, about what we not gonna do, what you not finna do, what you not about to do to me. But obviously, yes, the fuck they are, and obviously, yes, the fuck you're gonna take it.
Yeah, like a good boy. He continues, I was not allowed to attend Thanksgiving dinner with my wife's parents for the first 2 years we dated. Her brother literally asked for his birthday present to invite me, and they were like, nah. And you know who supported me through that bullshit? Black women. How come it wasn't your white wife?
Because they were still dating. And he didn't probably because they were still dating and he didn't get her, father's approval for her hand in marriage. Or some other patriarchal type.
Oh, he still doesn't have it. there's still no approval, but the government is involved.
But PayPal, he literally made black women into coons for supporting him. Could you imagine? I'm dating a white woman and her family won't let me come to dinner. Let me go tell a black woman and cry on her shoulder so she can make me feel better about it. So I can feel reinvigorated to get back to the land of mayonnaise.
Reinvigorate. All right. Fucking. He continues for some reason. The reason why I wrote all of this isn't as an explanation for my relationship, but specifically to speak as a black man married to a white woman and say unequivocally that the bullshit some Negroes put on black women is just that. Bullshit. Don't let ashy fuck faces get you twisted. Why you fell spelling fuck with two C's?
Because he hardcore, nigga.
Foobadoobadoo.
Actually, I've noticed that's a popular thing. I've seen fuck faces, fuck boys. A lot of people across the board are, dare I, as you just said, performative appropriation or...
Yeah, because y'all niggas ain't Crips.
Yeah, not I actually see a lot of people doing that lately.
Not a none of yous. He continues again. Just a finger pounding that smart device. I'm going to find a better way to word that. He said, and to also make it crystal fucking clear that my love for my wife does not supersede or replace my love for black women.
Really?
It kind of did. You married
me. Exactly. Really? You said, please offer me emotional support and mental stability. Okay, bye. Hey, Emily.
And she that has to be her name. Emily. I have my doubts. I don't remember every single instance of interaction my entire life, but I have my doubts that I've personally ever met or heard of a black woman named Emily.
I do not know any black Emilys. I know, like, five white Emilys, though.
Yeah, like, could have been a Jenny, something that crosses over. He went with fucking Emily.
With the racist parents. Emily with the racist parents.
Yeah, I might start saying Emily in place of Becky.
You know what?
Yo, make that a tweet, yo. In light of the Elon James White situation, can we start saying Emily instead of Becky?
Question for the black delegation.
Ooh, yeah, do that. Do that while we're doing the podcast. This is fun. All right, I'm going to redo that one because I didn't finish it. This may be the last tweet, right? He said, and to also make it crystal fucking clear that my love for my wife does not supersede or replace my love for black women. I'm held up across various aspects of my life exclusively by black women. My wife doesn't negate their influence in my life or my love for them. All right? Like, oh, wait, fuck, there's more.
Shit.
He just doesn't know when to stop. And he said, when I'm hurt, depressed, overjoyed, excited, I reach out to black women. They hold me down. Hell, they hold my wife down. They check in on her to make sure she's good. So what's all this bullshit about again? Damn, so you just called yourself a coon and called them a bunch of fucking mammies for Miss Emily.
Yes.
Woo! This is terrible. This is real. That's why everybody's getting at you.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really bad. Because this thing, like, he made this whole thing to, like, support black women, but all you did was shit on them and say they're only good for emotional labor, and then you run off and marry you a white woman.
Jesus Christ. Didn't even... Well, yeah, I guess he did run off, because I don't think she's from Brooklyn as well with him. So, yeah, he left the neighborhood and found Emily. That's... Whew, that... The fuck was that noise? There's some shit going on in this apartment complex. We gotta get the hell out of here. Did you know that, ma'am?
Yes.
Alright, so now Fetus Kalita is making that tweet. That tweet has been posted. I might put that shit on social dissonance, main. Mm-hmm. Might put it on social dissonance, main.
So yeah, so that's, and then that's her, right?
Nah, that's somebody named Laura.
Oh, okay.
And Laura just...
Oh, shit.
Yeah, okay. That's not Emily.
Okay, because his wife was tweeting, too, about it, and then locked down her account.
Yeah, man, which is so whack. Like, stop denying us all this great comedy, you two. Fucking Emily. And your boy. Your fucking tall lawn jockey. fucking... All right, so now, now that This Week in That Blackness program, I think I started playing the program probably like early 2012, maybe late 2011, somewhere around there. Mm-hmm. And Dasha Mitchell was the co-host there, and they called her the Beige Menace.
Yes.
And I actually thought she was really funny, you know, it wasn't like corny, you know, it wasn't like fucking forced laughter, mm-hmm. you know, Breakfast Club shit. Right. Yeah, it wasn't like the Breakfast Club. This was a different program. It's like, yeah, these niggas are some Obamacrats, but these niggas, they crack me the fuck up. And I like their theme song. The theme song is fucking live, you know, and I'll fast forward the commercials and I'm okay. And so I played the program. And then Dasha Mitchell was, I think she's going on to do like a PhD stuff.
Yes.
And so she got busy with that. And then this Imani Gandhi appears on the program. Mm. Not as funny. Mm-hmm. And but the show goes on.
Right.
Right. And now you move forward, you go through 2013, you go through 2014. There's ups, there's downs. You get to 2015, like we said earlier, after April 29th, shit changed up. Like Imani Gandhi literally popularized the phrase Bernie Bros.
Right.
Like, she made that crack on that show, and then it just blew on Twitter, like, right after that episode dropped. Mm-hmm. And then they just go on and on. Like, every episode was just the Let's Cry About Bernie show. And it just became that. And then they had like a Joydian slip, right? Mm-hmm. Like a moment of clarity. And they were like, and they noticed that when they contacted Dasha Mitchell, like, she was a Bernie supporter, like, out there putting up signs and, you know, mm-hmm. telling people about him, like, yeah, it's a good candidate, should vote for him in the primary. And then the Joydian slip was, mm-hmm. they were like, it's maybe because she's not on Twitter as much as us. It's like, yeah, y'all niggas live on fucking Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
But I know a big part of that's because it's your job, like your faux outrage on Twitter and the and like pretending you got banned or whatever, right. Or for Elon pretending he's getting harassed. That's part of the hustle, part of the job. Mm-hmm. All right, and then and now Dasha Mitchell comes back around. Do you have it up? Yeah. All right, so you lace it up.
Okay, so. She says, and I was trying to go back and find it, where Imani retweeted it to see specifically what Imani said, but in the meantime, Dasha says, let me tell you a little story about black women, labor, and one, and then she adds him, at Elon James White. I started working with Elon as a volunteer back when TWIB was hashtag blacking it up. Was that their hashtag for a while?
Like I didn't know that was a hashtag, but black, because I think he had the program on Blog Talk Radio at that time. Like, he was just getting started. I think one of his first few episodes, he interviewed Janet Mock.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I believed in the mission. The podcast space was an untapped market. Elon's timing was perfect, and his vision for future podcasting was, in a word, genius. However, after nearly 2 years, I up and quit. Why? I can't speak for all black women in his sphere of influence, but I can speak to my experience. That was a very diplomatic way of saying that. Hmm. His primary tactics as my boss. Guilt, gaslighting, and when all else failed, repeating, ma'am, that's just not logical, until I relented. When I dared to offer a new idea, a direction for TWIB, he would shut it down, only to resurrect it 2 weeks later as his own. Collaboration is not in his vocabulary. We were making connections with an impressive group of corporate and non-for-profit supporters, but he refused to let his team follow up on those connections and build relationships. I will never understand why. This fucking Chris sounds like Krista. He refused to pay folks. I only got paid because I begged and I needed childcare in order to split my time between TWIB and my PhD dissertation. His financial situation was unstable, without a plan, and he was burning through money irresponsibly, so I offered to be his COO, which is what, chief?
I wouldn't know.
Chief? I don't know, chief operations something, I don't know.
Chief operating organizer? Fuck, I don't know.
Something. To manage the finances and establish an operational structure, and he said no. That's when I quit. His refusal to relinquish any control of responsibilities has mismanaged TWIB into the ground. He paved the way for podcast space as it exists today, but hasn't benefited because he chose not to listen to black women. That's weird. I thought he said he listens to black women all the time.
Hey, no.
Oh, wait, only when he's crying.
No, because no, so really wife. They're listening to him.
Actually. I've remained silent about how and why I left because I felt ashamed that my dissertation was stagnated, that I gave so much of my time, that I risked the future of my family if I continued, and frankly, working for him felt abusive. I believed in TWIB, and I continue to believe in TWIB Nation, which is why I have re-entered the podcast space with ANS Freeman to do hashtag Unreasonable Fridays. So I guess that's maybe a podcast we should check out.
ANS Freeman?
Yeah. Is that Aaron?
If that's Aaron, I'm not checking it out. Aaron is boring as fuck.
Is that Electric Nigaloo? Is that him?
Oh, that's his face, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah, Aaron Rand Freeman is one of the most boring niggas I've ever heard speak in my fucking life.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, she's doing Unreasonable Fridays with Aaron Freeman now, so that's
that
happening.
Sounds so TWIB-ish. Yeah, like, that's, like, the way Elon talks.
Imagine that a bunch of them are going to be doing TWIB-ish shit because that's where the money is.
Yeah.
Like, just without Elon. But I've had enough of his black women support me bullshit. Elon James White exploits black women. He uses them to rinse him of criticism, and as a result, he drains our wells dry.
Hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, Elon.
Oh, Elon.
You buck dancing coon.
Indeed. Yeah, I can't believe that, oh my god, Imani tweets so much. I'm trying to, like, find where she shared it. Like, I can't even scroll back that far because there's so many, tweets in the meantime. Or she just deleted it, I don't know. But yeah, so that's, you know, what's going on. And, you know, I'm sure other women are going to come out and say that they worked for TWIB and it was abusive and it was horrible, but...
Yeah, right now, Dara is the one that's currently there. So, like, is Dara going to step out, leave, and tell her story? I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would also be Oh, see, and like now there's tweets going around. In the spirit of support, listen to these women who supported TWIB. And then someone hashtagged a bunch of people. So Unreasonable Fridays, ADD Space, Feminista Jones, Sunday Civic, Spacey World. I guess Amani has a new podcast called Boom Lawyered Up or something. But yeah, I imagine there's going to be a lot more stories coming out of people who worked with Elon and he was a complete fucking asshole to them. And it's just will be interesting to me to see if he recovers, how he recovers, how he tries to recover, because you just told the entire world that you use black women for emotional support. And I do mean use, like manipulate, coerce black women for emotional support. And then you run home to your white wife and her racist ass family. And then you opted to breed with her. And have, I believe, a daughter, right?
Yeah.
And have a daughter with someone whose family doesn't want you at their table. So, I mean, I guess your daughter may grow up okay, but odds are her racist-ass grandparents gonna fuck her up.
I mean, if his hustle career thing falls apart, I mean, because, like, he can do IT, but maybe he'll want to go back to school because he doesn't have, like, any fancy degrees and whatnot, like most of the people to support him. And then maybe he can support Bernie Sanders. Maybe Bernie Sanders will get him free college. Elon, come on, be a Bernie bro, young man. It's time.
He's a Republican. He can't.
He'll never not be. Yeah, like, ex-Republicans don't really exist. They're all still puggy.
Yeah, they're all still.
Yeah, they're so pugnacious.
Like, I'm a centrist now.
Oh, man.
So Amani's tweet, because I found this on Amani's wall. She said, I tried to stay out of the fray since I worked with Elon for so many years, but Dasha is a close friend, a brilliant woman, and this thread is a must read. And then she retweeted the thread that I just read.
Yeah. All right. So that's going on. And maybe it'll only get funnier.
I mean, I would, again, like, we're cool. We do black shit. We're funny. Give us money. So we can podcast.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah, man. Like, fucking. And we're going to do another Wine Cellar After Dark when I have a fucking day off again. Yeah, and just keep doing that. And more social justice bullies. Phoenix just did a reading in the shade with Phoenix Collider. Like, really, you got 3 episodes in 24 hours.
Right.
With TWIB, they might just go on hiatus for 3 months and people keep donating to them. Right. They do that. Like, TWIB just fucking, they call it hiatus, they just don't feel like making programs.
Exactly.
Yeah, because you can fucking, well, you can flip on the mic and record.
He's probably in the dark crying on a black woman's shoulder because his in-laws did some racist shit and he's just too stressed out to podcast this week.
I did see somebody that was in favor of it that was like, I thought what he said was very clear. And that's the thing. We all did, too.
Yeah. So we.
Like, nigga, it's not that we're confused. Nigga, we're not Gusty Renegade. It was not a confusing metaphor.
Yeah, actually, I saw a couple people. Because I saw this in one of the black feminist spaces. And there was a couple people in there defending it of like, no, you don't understand. I've listened to the show for a few years. He checks his wife when she's racist. Like, okay, but what about the in-laws who he literally said won't let him be in their kitchen?
And then also, that's the show. Like, there's a whole day, week, month, year, and life outside of show. Yeah. Fuck that shit. Yeah, I don't think I ever could have gone, like, long term with a white woman. Like, it just.
Especially not if she has in-laws.
Yeah, and I remember that time, like, when in my, going in my late 20s, where I was like, alright, I'm just gonna only date atheists. And I realized very quickly that kind of, given where I was in fucking Orlando, that kind of killed my black dating pool.
Right.
And then also, what I really liked was just not dating at all. Because not dating at all brings you a phoenix. A phoenix rises.
Nigga.
Alright, fucking, So, PayPal.me/PhoenixandWilliam, Patreon.com/WineCellarMediaFund. We're not pretending to be activists.
So far, I have 4 votes, because I made it a poll on Twitter.
Oh, fuck.
Did you cut it off already?
No, okay, no, I did not.
Oh, yeah, so I, because you can do that on Twitter, you can make a poll. And I said, question for the black delegation, in light of Elon James White Coonery Buck Dancing Holiday Special, can we replace Becky with Emily? So far, all votes say yes. It's gonna be an Emily.
Don't be a fucking Emily, man. Oh, shit. I'm still keeping the Becky Lives Matter page. I'm not re-editing that shit. But, man, fuck it. Fuck it. This is happening. This is amusing, man. So this is like an unfolding story in the black independent media world.
Yes.
All right. Then this is the Black Podcast with Wine Cellar Media and William J. Blackass Motherfucker, a.k.a. Father Teresa, a.k.a. Darkskin Nigglesworth. This is Phoenix Kaliter on the Twitters. Uppity Negress, two P's, two T's, two S's. And again, paypal.me/PhoenixandWilliam, patreon.com/WineCellarMediaFund. Somehow we always get around an hour.